Good morning, Living Hope Church.
Good morning.
If you could please stand for the reading of the Word. Today we're reading from James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh.
Thank you, Justin. You're free to go.
Thank you.
The rest of you are free to have a seat. Prayer meetings on Mondays. This would be a good time to attend if you haven't been to one. Attend a few, because over the next few weeks, Monday nights, the prayer team will be praying for the different things that are necessary for us to really send our kids off to school in safety, in power, for those that have the power of God upon them, and protection, that we would send them off well as they go into this coming school year. So come in on the prayer meetings on Monday nights if you're able. Was that worship beautiful?
Yes.
It was so sweet. It was so anointed. And it's so perfect, because you're going to hear from the book of James today, and he's going to let us have it. He's going to let us have it because he loves us. And when we have it, we do well. We really do. And he's going to let us have it. He's going to help us to know it. And it should have a change and an impact on our lives. So I am just giddy about what God is doing here. The untamable tongue. Raise your hand if that's you. Oh my goodness, you're in for a tongue lashing right now. The untamable tongue. Craig, I didn't see your hand go up. Man? Okay, both hands are up. That's good. Responsibility of teachers. Uh-oh. James 3:1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Oh. Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I taught in the Green Bay Public Schools for 30 years. Oh my goodness. I think of what I taught. I think of the content that I had to teach. Oh, my Lord, forgive me. I think of the way and sometimes how I thought I was being creative and how I presented it. And it was so fleshly. God, forgive me. Because it's a big deal. And now he puts me in a place. And he put Justin in a place. Natasha had her place. And Michael had his place. All presenting the Word of God in different ways, and it was beautiful. But for the teacher, he gives us a warning, and it's a strong one, that we are judged in a more strict manner than those who don't teach. If you desire to be a teacher, just know this, that there's a responsibility that goes with it that matters. I am so, is fallible the right word? I'm a teacher, I don't know what the word is. So prone to making errors and mistakes that this scripture hit me right between the eyes. And I pray for grace. Grace that abounds, that God would cover me in his grace. And anybody else who steps up on this altar to present his word. And the primary thing we are called to do as teachers is to present the word of God accurately and rightly. Which means we have to say things sometimes people don't like. Because it forces us to take a look at ourselves. And right now, James is forcing us to take a look at ourselves in this. In some form or fashion, you are a teacher. If you ever profess the name of Jesus to anybody in your family, you're acting in the role of, well, a preacher, an evangelist, and a teacher all together. Three of the fivefold gifts. So thank you, Jesus, for this insight. This verse highlights the weight and the responsibility that comes with teaching others, particularly in the context of faith and spiritual matters. We cannot afford to misguide in anything that has to do with faith or the scripture or the word of God. Now, because we're human, we make mistakes, and there's grace for that. But we have to make a deliberate attempt to preach the truth of this word as best as we can, in a culture and in a day in the church where people don't necessarily want to hear the truth. And they don't want to hear anything that hits them between the eyes because they're guilty of something that's being presented from the pulpit. And it becomes a difficult thing. We are called to say it, to preach it, but we're called to do it in love. Y'all know what love is. Therese and Dave, if you could stand up and give everybody a picture of what love is. Could you just stand up? Yes! That was such a fun wedding. I got out of here just in time. Thank you for that, Jesus. The role of the teacher. The teaching is not a role to be taken lightly. Teaching others, especially about faith, comes with a responsibility to live according to the teachings that you're sharing. A teacher's influence can be significant. And with that influence comes a potential for both good and harm. I just alluded to that at the beginning. I regret some of the things I said and the way that I said them in the midst of doing a relatively good work of teaching. That crossed over even as a youth pastor. For 20 years as a youth pastor, I went to the edge too many times. And sometimes I gave opinion instead of the truth. And as soon as I did that, I was out of order. God forgive me. I don't want to be out of order. Not with his word. But we're prone to it. Thank you for that, Lord. Judgment for teachers. Teachers will be held to a stricter standard because they have the responsibility of guiding others. If a teacher leads someone astray or fails to live according to the teachings they share, they will face a more severe judgment. I don't like this scripture. But it is the truth. The responsibility carries consequences, good and bad. Do what it says, and you're blessed in it, and you're effective in it. Do what you feel you want to do in your flesh, and you're going to be judged more severely if it's against what God's word is. This emphasizes the seriousness of the task and the need for humility and accountability when taking on a teaching role. Amy, do not get mad at me. Is she here? Oh, she's in the back building her resume, teaching the little children. There is a responsibility. Gerald, there's big responsibility in what you present and teach to the young minds that have been so, I'll say, attacked for the last 40 years. The attack has come against them in great ways, and the deceptions that come at them, and the responsibility to give them the truth, as I believe you do, is paramount. We give them the truth. Tim on Friday nights, Janice on Friday nights, when you guys are presenting the truth, that's what you do. Continue to do that, and you'll see a flock sustain and grow in the Lord. That's a big deal. And anybody else who enters into that. Life group leaders, teachers assistants, people that have the platform to share God's truth. Do it well. Study it, know it, and deliver it as God would have you deliver it. Kevin, many years you've done working in the back with fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever they were, graders, young kids, presenting the truth of God's word. It matters. And that's what we're called to do. Thank you for that, Lord. James is telling us that leadership, especially in faith, requires integrity, wisdom, and understanding that one's actions and words will be scrutinized by God. If you're in ministry, you're held to a higher standard, and we're held accountable. That's because it's serious, and it matters. I was having a talk with Michael. Michael, you still here? You're still here. And we're talking about it. And his word to me was basically, no left turns. Man, stay straight. Tell the truth as it's presented in God's word. Study it to show yourself approved, to benefit the hearer. If you're going to your family, study what you're going to share with them. Know it. Know the arguments against what you're going to share with them. That you can give them a soft answer that will turn away the wrath that they have towards the truth of God's word. Know his word. And we're really about that here. We're doing it in groups all over the place. So Jane and Joe, for the leadership that you've taken in that, it's huge. For the Mandiches, to the leadership that you've taken in that, helping people get foundationally grounded in his word, it's a big deal. Because there's an accountability that we have to his word. Matthew 12:34 says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many have been guilty of that? I'm not calling you all a brood of vipers, but I'm just saying, how many have, out of your heart, wicked things have come? Yeah, we all have. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every, that, should I say that again? But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. That's why I said, what a beautiful worship service we had to take some of the edge off this, because these are serious words. And the words that come out of us, what is your humor like? Do you have a clean, healthy humor? Is it vile and for a cheap laugh? I know that one. I've been there. No, the things that we speak with our tongues and our mouths matter, and they should be healthy and they're good. That's how it should be. And we're judged on those things, and it matters. Y'all having a good day out there? This passage emphasizes the seriousness and the power of words, highlighting that what we say reflects our hearts and will be part of our judgment. That's serious. We are judged for what we say. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with one heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How did our salvation come about? We asked. We asked Christ to come in. What else happened? We believed. We believed that he would because we asked. Why did we ask? Because the Spirit of God prompted you. Did the Spirit of God use words? Probably not. He spoke in spiritual ways to your heart and your mind and your spirit of who he is. Keep that in mind when you share the love of Christ with somebody, that you speak with these things in mind. Have a heart for the person you're talking to. Know that you're speaking not just to ears, but you're speaking to a heart and a spirit of a person. There's depth to what we share when we're sharing Christ. I don't even know where that came from. It's so, I do too. I do. The church ladies are all saying, oh, we know where it came from. Thank you, Jesus. Second thing is we all stumble. I just gave you the good part, the easy part. Now we're going to talk about the stumbling. Isn't this great? James 3:2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Well, I'm disqualified. I stumble. How many in here stumble? I can't believe that only half the hands went up. I think lying is in here. I gotta find what page that is. We all stumble. People make mistakes, especially in what we say. Controlling our words is incredibly difficult. Oh, you mean with our mouth we can stumble? It's the worst kind. When we do it, it indicates maturity and self-control, like being able to control one's own body. Luke 12:2 says, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light." It's frightening. It's frightening. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. What does that mean? We are accountable for every word that proceeds from our mouth. I'm accountable for every word that proceeds out of my mouth. James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Did you ever get in an argument with somebody? You know, I was taught as a kid raising up the firstest with the mostest. You get your shots in while you can. Because if they're smarter than you, they'll outwit you and blow you away. If it's a physical thing, they're going to clean you up because you're only 5'2". So it was be the firstest with the mostest. Kick, punch, and cuss them out before you get into, you know, before they take it out on you. Okay, that's a bad human example, but I'm telling you, we're called to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And sometimes if you wait just a little bit and you listen to what the Spirit says, even in the midst of your frustration and anger with another, He'll calm your spirit and He'll give you the words to speak life. Not vengeance, not judgment, not getting even, none of that. But He'll give you the peace and the patience to communicate life to somebody. What a God we serve. Thank you for that, Jesus. James 1:26 says, "If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue," oh, he's beating us up again, "but deceives his own heart, this one, his religion is useless." Getting hold of our tongue is maybe the most difficult thing there is, other than maybe the loss of somebody you love. It's hard to control the tongue. It takes practice, and it takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit to remind you every time you do violate how you use your mouth and what you say and what you speak to people. Ask God, "God, correct me quickly and let me resolve it. Let me resolve it quickly. I want to be right before Him." We all do. Proverbs 13. James 1:26. Did I just read that one? "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not," "bridle his tongue." I think you were supposed to hear it twice. "But deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." You can do all the right things in a church. You can dress pretty, spiff it up and look handsome, shake the hands of everybody in the place. These are decent things. Greet somebody, put a little money in the plate. Well, that one doesn't count. You're supposed to put a lot of money in the plate. Actually, you're supposed to put about 10%. Your first 10% should go to the plate. Then you splurge. That was for free. That wasn't even in the notes. Gerald, I think you made that come out of me. I should not have got off on that tangent because I was making a real point. "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." I think God is really talking. I know He's talking to all of us. He's talking to a world full of people right now about this very thing. How many times does your mouth get you in trouble? Third thing, there's an incredible power in the tongue. James 3:3 says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." Just think about that for a second. Big ships turned by a tiny rudder. people moved by the tongue of a person and the things they say, moved to the good or to the bad. We put bits in horses' mouths, we turn the whole body. Ships are turned by a very small rudder. This all highlights how small things, a bit or a rudder, can control, how it controls something so large. A horse, a ship. The tongue, though small, has great power over our lives and actions, just like the bit or the rudder. Think of it now, the impact of what comes out of your mouth that it can have on somebody. It can truly lead people through encouragement to life, through truth in love to life. And at the same time, it can cut somebody to the core and destroy them for years. One of the things you learn in the high school is you see these horrible, hard things said from one kid to another because of a hurt. And it is incredibly damaging. Parents remove kids from a school because a kid said something. I was raised with sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's why I stopped reading nursery rhymes. It's a lie. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will crush me to the core. That's a reality. Careful what you say about somebody. If you're a hyperverbal person, and I know such people, it's hard. But you have to get control of your tongue. That's all of us. If you're going to speak life to people. Encourage and build up people. James 3:5 says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Man. Do you ever bite your tongue? I mean, they say bite your tongue if you're going to say something dumb or hurtful, and how painful it is. It gives us a picture of the struggle of how much it is to restrain what we want to say. Yet God calls us to do that. Think before you speak. If it's serious matters, pray before you speak. If it's family matters, fast, pray before you speak. It's that big a deal. A small spark can cause a vast wildfire. Similarly, careless or harmful words can destroy relationships, reputations, and communities. James 3:6 is talking about set on fire by hell. Strong language pointing to how our words can be influenced by evil. Uncontrolled speech can do immense damage. Here's how that works. I have an inkling in my nature to say something negative or angry or awful towards another person. I do that in my own flesh. But there is a spirit that's egging me on as well. And it's not the Spirit of God. There's a spirit in this situation. There's a spirit that is evil prompting me, stirring my anger, stirring my emotions to say the most vile thing that would hurt and crush the person I'm talking to. And I don't feel rest or peace until I get it out. And God is saying, stop. Control it. Give it over to God. And let Him speak to the person by His Spirit to their heart, where the communication takes place. It's one of the hardest things for all of us in this room to do, is to slow down before we speak, especially when anger is part of it. If you know you're going to have a confrontation, you spend time, like I said before, prayer and fasting, if it's consequential. You pray and fast before you confront, because it can be contentious. Be slow to speak and quick to listen, is what the Word tells us. But it says here in verse 8, but no man can contain the tongue. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. It's not like He's trying to protect us from this. He's telling us flat out, we can't control it. It's interesting that every kind of beast is tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Comparison to wild animals, humans have mastered control over wild creatures. We can control a lion, tigers, different wild, crazy animals, but we can't fully control our own tongues. Deadly poison words can kill emotionally, spiritually, and even socially. Only God can control our tongues. Wow. Do we allow Him to do that? I guess that's the challenge. Do I allow God to quiet me and still me before I be me and say the wrong thing? And I would just want you to think a second for you, sitting where you're at. Can you allow God to do that work? Sometimes He has to break me a little bit before I can hold back. Sometimes if anger is in play, it causes me real angst because I can't control the anger and the tongue at the same time. They're like knit together. I need help. Lord Jesus, help me. And I go to that place. Why? Because like I said before, it's consequential. The impact of what you say is deadly, or can be. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Smartest guy in the world came to that conclusion. He knew to shut it. He knew to ask God to help him to shut it. These passages emphasize the seriousness and the power of our words, highlighting that what we say reflects our hearts and will be part of judgment. We are judged for what comes out of our mouths. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I don't want to eat the fruit of my tongue. That's frightening to me. I know what comes out of me at times. But praise God, He's been changing me for about the last 40 years. First by knowing Him, He's changed me. He's working on me. He's empowering me and strengthening me to deal with me. You know what I'm saying? Can you feel some of that in your own life where God is doing a work in you and you know it and He's helping you along? And He's even helping me in this area, which is a big deal for me. We should not be contradictory with our tongue. This is pretty interesting. James 3:9 says, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or likeness or image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." That shouldn't happen. So what does that mean for us? We have to grow. We have to mature. We have to be in His Word that speaks these Scriptures to us so that we know the reality and the depth of these Scriptures. That's what we have to do. I can tell you a lot of things about my opinion and what I think about things, and they're meaningless, but when they come straight from the Word of God, He is giving us something that is to our benefit, to our advantage, to help us navigate this deadly thing that will have eternal consequences, is what it's saying right here. I had so much fun at your wedding last night. That was just a wonderful time. And that helps me to navigate this, which isn't so fun. It's real. Using the same tongue to worship and to curse is contradictory. It's wrong. Being up there just worshiping God, throwing hand gestures out at somebody beside you. I mean, that's what it is. That's what He's saying. Worshiping in one side, cursing somebody on the other. Or thinking, that person sounds like Pastor Mike. I wish they'd just move over further. I mean, I'm just telling you, just the nonsense of the contradicting spirit that dwells within us that makes us want to be this, but we do this. Morally, James urges believers to live consistently. Speech should reflect a heart aligned with God. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." That's a beautiful prayer by Paul. It's a teaching by him, but it's also a prayer. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. Edification is for building up, for encouraging, right? That it may impart grace to the hearers. Why grace to the hearers? Because grace is required for us to say the things to people that we're called to say, as opposed to the things we want to say. That makes sense? All right. God, give me grace to say the right thing. James 3:11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh water. How come? Because they're contradictory. We can't have the heart of God and speak the mouth of Satan to people. Those are contradictions. We have to be true in our relationship with Christ. Let him fill you. Let him envelop you. Let him speak through you. And for you and I, we shut our mouths until we hear from what God says. I'll tell you what, there's patience in an argument is a beautiful thing. When you're in a discussion, it gets a bit contentious. If you slow your roll and hold on to what you want to say and be patient and even quietly to yourself praying that you would say the right words, it's amazing what God will do in that circumstance. First off, it's amazing that you did what I just suggested. That's what's really amazing. But then when you do it, it's amazing the response that comes from the one that prayed the prayer. And then the Bible tells us, as Pastor Jim, the guy that started this church, one of his favorite scriptures was that a soft answer turns away wrath. He'd say it all the time. I don't get the soft answer unless I ask for it. And I desire it to turn away the wrath of the one who's angry with me. So that's what we're called to do as believers. And watch what happens in your relationships. And I'm not talking about all your friend and business and school relationships. I'm talking about your relationships with your children. Watch what happens in your relationships with your spouse when you begin to demonstrate the control of a soft answer, turning away wrath because you waited a few moments before you spoke out the evil that was in your heart, because we're in our humanity. That's what's in our heart. You just slow your roll. Then you presented in love what you were thinking. Page two. No, I'm kidding. Just as nature doesn't produce contradictions, neither should our speech. A true Christian should have words that reflect purity, integrity, and love, not both blessing and harm. So Natasha, as you were praying, how beautiful that was. Did she skip out? Oh, okay, there she is, hiding back there. So beautiful. The spirit behind what she was saying was precious. It was encouraging. It was edifying. It made me want to be like that. And she had an impact on the church for about a half an hour. We're called to be that to the world. And it starts in our home to have that same sweet aroma of God, because we held ourselves before we became ourselves and ruined everything. We allowed God to speak through us. The danger of ungoverned speech. The tongue may be small, but it can whoo. It can guide like a rudder, destroy like a fire, poison like venom. That's what the tongue has the ability to do. It can also, or it should bless, it should encourage, and it should honor God. I believe in this church that's what people do. I believe we have a lot of people in this church that bless others, that speak words of encouragement, that honor God. And that's the challenge. It's for believers to bring speech under control, under the control of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that, I used this scripture the other day, that life is in the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing, life is in the Spirit. This is how we need to operate. We need to operate with people spiritually, in the Spirit. That we speak from that perspective. And it gets rid of the vinegar and the anger and different things. Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." James 4:11 says, "Do not speak evil of one another." That's me saying I'm guilty. "He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and the judges of the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Oh, I thought this was about the tongue. Well, what do we do with the tongue? We judge other people. We judge them all the time. In fact, some of us, I think they should have degrees for how you judge. You're pretty good at it. I've been pretty amazing. I'd probably have a PhD in it. But it's wrong. We're not called to judge. That's God's business. And the sad thing is we get judged by the same standard that we judge by. We're called to love. We speak the truth, hard truth sometimes, but we speak the hard truth in love. Love is the economy, one of the economies of God. And we should speak it in that way. I'm going to give you a little story. Is Abram still working back there? Abram left. Okay. This is a story about the power of words. In a quiet village near the edge of a vast forest, there lived a young man named Elias. He was known by all, not because of his strength or his work, but because of his sharp tongue. Elias had a way with words, clever, quick, often biting. How many can identify with that? In conversations, Elias always had the last word. He teased others, stirred gossip, made jokes at people's expense. "Relax," he would say, "it's just words." But over time, things in the village began to change. Friends stopped trusting each other. People became distant. Some avoided the town square altogether, wounded by things Elias had said. One day, Elias's father, a quiet but wise man named Abram, invited him to take a walk up the hillside. He carried a small pillow in his hand, and when they had reached the top of the hill, Abram handed the pillow to Elias and said, "Tear it open." Elias looked puzzled. "Why? Just do it?" His father said gently, "Just do it." He shrugged and ripped the pillow open. The swirling wind common on the hilltop swept across the hill, and the feathers inside burst out all over the place, scattering into the air, floating far and wide across the fields. Elias stood in wonder, watching the feathers scatter and fly, until his father looked at him and said, "Now go and gather every one of those feathers and put them back." Elias laughed, thinking he was joking. "Dad, that's impossible. The wind already carried them off." Abram's eyes were serious. "Yes, they have. You see, that's what your words are like." He continued, "The Bible says that the tongue is a fire, just as a few careless words can spread pain like flames through the forest. You may not see it, but your words have hurt people. And you can't take them back once they're out." Abram pulled out his well-worn Bible and read softly, Matthew 12:36-37. He says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned." Then he added James 3:5. He said, "The tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles." Elias looked out over the valley, watching the feathers disappear into the distance. He was quiet for the first time in a long time. Abraham placed his hand firmly on his son's shoulder. "Son, you have a gift. God gave you words, not to tear down, but to build up. Let God teach you how to use them well. Ask him to guard your heart, your mouth, and purify your heart. Because of what comes out of your mouth shows what's in your heart." From that day on, Elias began to speak differently. He wasn't perfect, no one is, but he thought before he spoke. He apologized when he had failed, and little by little, his words started to heal instead of harm. It's a pretty powerful story. And as I was reading it, how many in here, you could see yourself in that picture, and my hand's going up, but is there anybody else that's a thing? Yeah, the hands are going up like this. I get that. This simple story reminds us words are powerful. They can bless or they can destroy, burn or they can build, or build or they can burn, heal or they can poison. Once spoken, they cannot be taken back. Only God can truly tame the tongue. A heart filled with His Spirit will overflow in words that give grace, life, and truth. Father God, we thank You for this time here together today. We thank You for the precious worship that we had this morning. We thank You for each and every person who has come to this place, who opened up their ears and their hearts to receive what You had for them. Father, we pray for those who don't know You, that they would come to know You. And they can do that just by inviting You into their heart and asking You to change them. Do that beautiful work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, for the believer, I just pray right now, Lord, that You would speak to all of our hearts. Challenge us in such a way that we can receive it. We pray that You don't overwhelm us with too much, and You won't. We pray that You would teach us to go in the way that You would have us go. That as we go out, we would be salt and life and good flavor to a dying and lost world. Help us to speak life to people. And Father, let it be quickened in us when we want to speak the negative thing. Help us to be cautious before we speak. As it says in Your word, let us be slow to speak and quick to listen. Help us in that, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that what is a very challenging message for all of us here, that it be a wonderful, powerful message that resonates deep within us, that it changes us. I ask that You do that work in Jesus' name. I pray that You would give us ears to hear and a spirit by which to receive. And Father, once we've tamed the tongue, that You'd give us a mouth to speak, a mouth that speaks life, a mouth that speaks courage, a mouth that speaks salvation to the hearer. I pray that You give us opportunities that we would speak to hearers, seekers, broken hearts, and we would be bringers of life, not criticism or judgment. I pray this in Jesus' name. And Jesus, I just thank You for this church, where You've raised up people in here who teach by how they live. They hold their tongue. They encourage, they build up, they edify. I thank You for them and what they've meant for me. Help me to be more like that each day. I give You thanks and I give You praise and we give You glory, for You are worthy. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you are prompted and you don't know who Jesus is and you want to know who He is, there'll be a couple people up here that will happily tell you who He is and give you a chance to receive Him. If not, you can receive Him on your own and say, Jesus, come in. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need You. I need salvation. You can do that by yourself. And then you can say to Him, be my Lord. I give up that place to You. In Jesus' name.